Final hour. Darren Donick and Chase here on this gorgeous Tuesday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. If you want to win a pair of tickets to see Stanford and Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt Stadium in a couple of weeks, that'll be Saturday, September 18th, head over to YouTube and subscribe to our 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter to win a way into that game. One winner will be chosen by next Monday, September 13th. Let's welcome in Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. He is on the line with us. Coach, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. Thanks for doing this. We've talked to you since you've taken on this job and even leading up to this game. You knew the challenges. You knew the landscape. Are the challenges everything you thought it was going to be, Clark, or is it maybe even a little bit steeper climb than you initially anticipated?
I don't know that I would say a steeper climb. I mean, I think the challenges of you know, redirecting and rebuilding and growing anew is always going to, you know, they're always going to be significant. I think, you know, we sometimes want to convince ourselves that, you know, we're further along than we are, or, you know, that it's going to be easier than we maybe initially thought. But I mean, the truth is, this is what we signed up for. And you know, Saturday was disappointing for everybody involved, but yet, you know, to me, it's an important moment for us as a program to redirect from. And, you know, the sooner we, you know, get over the sting of it, the sooner we get over the, you know, the ego protection involved and just, the self-pity. It's like, this is our moment, and we gotta take it. We gotta learn from it. We gotta understand that it represents where we are, but not where we're headed. And we gotta put the experience to use this week to prepare for a game against, you know, Colorado State on the road. That's going to be tough.
Yeah. Coaches, as you know, have said that you learn the most about your team in between weeks one and two. So with that being said, what are you hoping to learn going into week two about your team?
Well, I want to see, obviously I want to see improvement. I mean, we have to, you know, we have to start the game against Colorado State prepared to pounce, to take the fight to the opponent. And it wasn't a lack of effort on Saturday in my mind as I watched from the sideline, but there was a lack of intensity in our execution, and particularly, I mean, look, to win games at this level, it doesn't matter who you're playing against. It's going to require the facing down of adversity. And, you know, I feel like we've growth in this program, in our practices, in our preparation. You see a level of compete, you see a level of spirit and enthusiasm that we've been able to sustain. And early in fall camp, like we had a couple of days where, you know, I felt like it looked like survival mode. I mean, literally we're learning to do everything at a high level to facilitate the results we want. But, you know, I did not feel like in the middle of the game on Saturday, as adversity set in, once East Tennessee State scored a touchdown, I didn't feel like that we were ready to counterpunch. It was almost like the scoreboard, you know, just took a little bit of that enthusiasm, that energy from us, and we have to get over that. I mean, you know, let go of everything that we've learned about the competitive moment and start to actualize our potential in those moments and connect with each other on the sideline to will the result that we want in the end. And so that's a lot. You know, yeah. Week one to week two, we are learning how to compete and win. We're learning the detail it takes. You know, like I said, I felt like the effort was there. I didn't feel like there was anyone that, you know, gave up or gave in. And yet that's not how we, you know, mark our standards. You know, that's just the expectation. This is about how we move our program forward, and we can do that by just taking a higher level compete to the game on Saturday and really having fun with that competitive moment. I mean, you learn about yourself when you face that adversity. You learn about your teammates. Let's enjoy that process rather than, you know, kind of like, you know, be swallowed up by it.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this conversation. So I felt like, you know, I coach a youth baseball team, and I felt like last year at 9 years old in kid pitch, going from coach pitch, where I was their friend pitching to them, going to kid pitch, where strangers were pitching to them, It was a big psychological game, and we had a lot of the same conversations. That's why I was fascinated with what you were saying. And I told my assistants, I was like, I feel like we should put like a white coat on because I feel like we're doing more psychological work than we are coaching and teaching the game of baseball. But we're through all that, and we're now on the other side and going into 10U. So with that being said, I'm talking about kids, you know, 9 and 10 years old. How do you do that at the college level?
Well, listen, we're still talking about kids, and I mean, it's young people. And the other thing to understand about football is, you know, the jump from high school to college, it's a leap. And
sure.
There are so many variables that come into play, and most of our players have, in one way or another, been just superstars at the high school level. And many have worked really hard for that kind of competitive separation, and yet, you know, you drop into an environment where you're right at the mean line, and you have to work to separate yourself every single day. There's a lot, I think, just in the baseline experience of movement from high school to college, there's a lot that has to be learned, and there's a lot that has to be unlearned. I think what further complicates that is just, you know, the situation we've dropped into here that, you know, requires further untangling just of past experience. And there is a psychological weight to that. But listen, guys, we have to get over that. I mean, I'm not here to talk about that as you know, what's going to continue to plague us. My message to the team is Vanderbilt football will not be defined, ceases to be defined by self-pity. I mean, this is about how we look each other in the eye, look at ourselves in the mirror, and understand that we controlled what happened on Saturday. It was not something that happened to us. You know, I think we at times felt like, you know, East Tennessee State was going to be a cooperative opponent, and that's never going to be the case. And part of learning to win is understanding how hard it is, how on point you have to be, and how, again, inevitably there's going to be adversity. It's never going to be easy. And so we prepare for those moments where we have to counterpunch, where we have to find out about ourselves, where someone has to step up and make a play. And we don't do it by pressing. We do it by defaulting to process and doing the little things at a really high level. And not to, you know, like go too long into this, but, you know, ultimately for us, you know, it's, you know, our team was not met with a message, nor did I, you know, internalize a message that said, you know, how could this happen? Or, you know, why did this happen? This happened for the exact reason it needed to happen. You know, we have to learn through this. We have to grow from it. And we have to become the team that we can become. And I don't think that it's going to be able to happen here until we have stripped everything down to the studs and are willing to build it anew at every turn. And, you know, I think in the part of this process, we're at the point now where, you know, it's going from, you know, being like understanding and being responsive and showing up and working hard to like a deep level of belief, a deep level of awareness that we carry with us from the heart into our performance. And so that, you know, that was the message of yesterday. And now today we shift focus to Colorado State and we go at it really hard in our Tuesday practice. And it's, you know, I think the guys are excited to do that.
Talking to Clark Lee, head football coach at Vanderbilt. And so, Coach, let's get a couple of specific areas here for you to address. It looked to me like, regardless of which quarterback was in, there were just a number of plays in the passing game, especially where it just didn't have time to develop. So offensive line, pass protection, it looked like you had a lot of breakdowns there. Where do you start in trying to get that to the next level?
Well, I think it starts in practice. And, you know, for us, this has been an issue that we've kind of faced down in our competition against our defense. And so we have to be more demanding of protection. We have to, as players take ownership over the communication and the techniques that allow for, you know, a firm pocket to be set. And so, you know, there were a few instances, and you know, some of them, you know, the free hit on Mike Wright, where we're at the 29-yard line heading in, and we got a double move call, the ball's going to go up in the end zone. Those are the kind of shots that we want to throw to Will Shepherd and Chris Pierce and to get, you know, our size of receiver going. You know, for us to cut a single-edge blitzer loose is negligence, and we have to take ownership over that. and be better. You know, that's communication lines, that's execution points. It's all doable. It's just a matter of taking the awareness. Unfortunately, now we've had to learn this through a negative result. We take the awareness that we have and we apply it to preparing with more intensity and more intentionality to ensure that we're better in those moments. But be it twist games, be it blitzes, you know, we have to be stout and create a firm pocket so that Ken and Mike can have confidence back there to deliver the ball where they need to deliver it.
You were talking about Will Shepard, and he jumped out at me as a guy that he got targeted a lot. And here's a guy that is playing at a position group where you have some other guys who have done some things and been around for a while, and Cam Johnson and Chris Pierce. So tell me where Shepard has really made a jump. He looked like he's got some good tools there.
You know, Shep, he had a spring where he kind of jumped out at us and then sustained that through summer and fall. I think he's really come a long way. When I look at Will, I think about not just where he is, but where he's going to be. I think he's got just a really high ceiling. He's long, tall. He can run. You know, he's going to have an opportunity to be, you know, to be a guy that's going to have the ball in his hands, and we hope that can make big plays for us. And in review of the game Saturday, there were times where he showed up and was able to create some pressure. I know there's some tackles that he wants to break. You know, it's like there was a couple times where he's just one step away from springing a long one, a breakout for a touchdown, which we need. We need some explosive movement on offense. But yet there's also some nuanced technique where, you know, he can be more effective on the deep ball. You know, he can be more effective on the post that we missed early in the game. You know, those are things that I think through his experience, his growth, his understanding of the game, you're going to see a playmaker develop and someone that I'm excited to watch grow. We need him to grow up fast because obviously, you know, that level of explosiveness will help us out a lot on our offense.
You said, Clark, that you wanted to use both quarterbacks. You did. You know, Mike Wright came in, gave you a spark. As you mentioned, he had a couple of good drives going that sort of got short-circuited there with a penalty or a sack. But given what we were talking about, the breakdowns protection-wise, do you look at that position and say kind of the same formula going into Saturday? You're going to see both guys and maybe ride the hot hand depending on the situation?
Yeah, I want it to be – this is Kenny's job right now. He's earned that. He's the starting quarterback. Mike is, a counterpunch. He's someone that we trust, and he has a skill set that we think can be very challenging on defenses. I almost, you know, want to even make a little more distinction in how we design around both guys so that we can further bring out their strengths, and that's something that we've talked about as an offensive staff here. But but no, Ken will be the starter. We certainly, you know, as the week goes, we plan on using Mike as well. Felt like he, when he came in, he did provide a little spark, but I think we can go further and again, bringing out his strengths and allowing him to impact the game, impact winning for us. He's a talented guy that has earned the right to be out there.
We're talking to Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach here on Darren Donick and Chase. And I know you mentioned this in your press conference earlier today about offensive play calling, but could you kind of take us through the setup there with having, you know, David as the OC, you have Joey Lynch as the pass game coordinator, Norvell as the run game coordinator, just kind of the breakdown of how your offensive coaches are set up and trying to deliver the message to the players as quickly as possible within a game?
Yeah, the communication lines are really they're streamlined. I mean, it's Joey's game to call. We are collaborative in our approach to develop a game plan. David Rye has his personality, his fingerprints involved in that. He and Joey have worked close together from the very beginning. I think in fall camp, it just became clear that Joey's experience gave us a little better, execution point in our scrimmages. As play caller, and then also, you know, by taking that aspect of it off David's plate, he's focused more attention to that receiver group that we need, again, to grow up fast to become a feature in our offense. But as far as the in-game, you know, they obviously, like any offensive staff, communicate with each other, plan the next series, talk about what's working, what's not. But when it comes down to like calling the play, you know, we've given that responsibility to Joey, and that has to do with his experience and all that he brings to the table in that respect. So that's how it works.
Gotcha. As we talk about this a lot, you know, with hockey, and obviously it's different with road trips and you're on the road longer, but you all heading out to Colorado State, you know, how much are you looking forward to having that opportunity to be away from everything that's here, everything that's at home, where you can just be there as a team and bond, because it's still a new team, a new coaching staff, all of those things. So how important will that aspect of the road trip be?
It's a great aspect of it. I mean, we have to be road warriors. You have to bind together and find a way to win a game in a challenging environment. There's, like you mentioned, additional time where you're in transition, on the plane, in the hotel, spending time together. We have a long day Saturday because we play at night. So, additional time in preparation and to be with each other. Like you said, it's a new team, new coaching staff. We're all getting to know each other. My goal is that, you know, the adversity this team faces, whether in game or obviously coming out of Saturday after a disappointing result, that adversity, you know, strengthens our bonds, that we actually tighten, as a program as a result of that. And so, going on the road together is certainly a chance to kind of double down on that and to spend a little extra time together.
As we close this, I just want to get your opinion as now a head coach. You've been a defensive coordinator as well. Clearly, we're talking a lot about the targeting penalty in college football, and I understand the intent behind it. I think everybody understands the intent behind it. It's all about player safety, but it is also a controversial penalty. It's an inconsistent penalty. So looking at it from your coaching eyes, you know, is this something, in your opinion, that you think that they need to look at, the officials need to look at, to try and make it where it's safe for the players, but also as fair of a penalty as it possibly can be?
Yeah, I think the word that you said that I best describes what I feel about is just the consistency in it. I do feel like the concentration on the targeting foul has allowed us to teach and coach a certain way that does make the game safer. So I think the intention is there. It's challenging at times as a defensive player to know how to win at the point of attack. And sometimes, you know, it's obviously you see some of those that are kind of malicious or maybe have a little more purposeful in the way they're blows are delivered, but there are also some that are just competitive moments, and just allowing there to be some consistency in it so that we can coach it and teach it and the players can understand it, and that way we're not, you know, in critical situations without players that have earned the right to be in the game. And that would be my hope, and fortunately I haven't experienced it much on my end. You know, we've had a couple over the years, but nothing too crazy. But I know it obviously was a wild week in that respect, and it's the topic of conversation today, certainly.
Well, Clark, appreciate the time as always. Best of luck at Colorado State. We'll be watching, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks, guys. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk later.
Awesome. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, joining us here on the show as they do take on Colorado State coming up late Saturday night. And you can listen to those games on our sister station, 93.3 Classic Hits. As we go to the break, Mitch Light from The Athletic is going to join us next. Darren, tell us about DraftKings.
I will. First Sunday of the NFL season is here, and the excitement continues with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. All you have to do is bet $1 on any football game this weekend and receive $200 in free bets instantly. No matter what. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they just bet at least $1 on any football game. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. All you have to do is download that DraftKings Sportsbook app right now, use that promo code 1025GAME, and receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any Week 1 game. That promo code again to use, 1025GAME, and get your free $200 in bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Remember, you must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.